All right. Well, the media is melting down about how handily President Trump was able to win the Iowa caucus this week. And instead of trying to figure out why did he win so handily, why do so many people who could be viewers of our show, right? This is the media speaking. Instead, they're just insulting them, saying if you voted for Trump, you're stupid. You don't live on planet Earth. Also, you're selfish and you're probably a white Christian male. And that inherently makes you selfish. It's pretty amazing. Now, I say this.
And racist.
Yes, yeah. That goes without saying. Yeah. I say this as a former card-carrying member of the liberal media, who also myself was very shocked and disappointed when Trump won in 2016. And I remember feeling like, oh, did the media give him too much time? Was it our fault as the media, right? Instead of thinking, what do these people see in him? What does he give them, right? Instead of having any humility about what other people think, you know, they're thinking, well, we know better, but these people are just too stupid. And it's infuriating to watch it. Watch Rachel Maddow say that what we are seeing here is the rise of authoritarianism. And she says it with a straight face. She means it.
And the big picture takeaway from that, and I don't mean to be, again, too dark, as you said, on this, but it is not, if we are worried about the rise of authoritarianism in this country, we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. If we're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government. The leader who is trying to do that is part of that equation. Mm-hmm. But people wanting that
Correct.
Is a much mm-hmm. bigger part mm-hmm. of that
That's
equation.
Right.
And the American electorate is made up of two major parties. One of those parties has been flirting with extremism on the ultra right for a very long time. They've brought them in a way that they haven't been central to Republican electoral politics ever before. And I know because I've been studying this. But once you have radicalized one major party so that those are the preferences of the people who adhere to your party, the leader is interchangeable. And yes, Trumpism is sometimes what we call it. Mm-hmm. MAGA movement is probably a better way to do it. But there is an authoritarian mm-hmm. movement inside yes. Republican politics that isn't being bamboozled by Trump. Mm-hmm. They are pushing Trump That's to right. get more and more That's extreme right. because the more extreme things he says,
The more they adhere to him.
Yeah. And that is coming from a very large proportion of the American right that adheres to the Republican Party. And that's why this is a Republican Party problem more than it is the problem mm-hmm. of one man and his leader.
So what a crock of shit. And
yes.
What the hell? What is she talking about? Give me specifics, Rachel Maddow. How is the Republican Party pushing Trump to be more radical, more extreme? And what does it mean to be extreme and radical? Is not allowing 10 to 15,000 people per day to pour across the southern border radical?
Well,
what is radical?
I can tell you because I watched her almost every day during the Trump administration, and I know what she told me was wrong with Trump was Russiagate. She didn't apologize for that. Was the fact that he was going to steal the 2020 election and that he would not leave office peacefully. None of those things ended up
but
being
now,
true, and that he was connected to Russia. Those are the things.
Now.
No, she doesn't have anything. She's still running those hits, right?
Right, but what are the hits? I guess I don't know what, because Russiagate, the fact that she's even allowed to be on the air.
After Russiagate, right.
After Russiagate, which she pushed every day on her freaking show.
For 4 years. Every day I was waiting for Trump to get arrested for what she was
like, it's today's
the day. About every day.
Remember that day she held up a piece of paper and she's like, I've got the paper.
It was his tax return.
She's like, today's the day.
Yeah.
But anyway, today, what I'm talking about is now. Like, what now do they have? When they want to call Trump extreme, what specifically are they citing? They have nothing. They can't point to anything. Oh,
well, they're hanging their hat on January 6th. So I listened to a couple episodes of Pod Save America this week because I want to know how the liberal media is covering this. And they say that, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley, I don't know if Nikki Haley says this, but because they say that there's some fishy stuff about January 6th, that makes them extremists. You have to just take January 6th as a spoonful of medicine, that it was only bad people in a bad insurrection. None of them were provoked, that it was completely an attempt to overturn our democracy.
You have to cry like an MSNBC anchor
right.
who's just so upset about it.
Yeah.
You have to put
lack curiosity on why some of the tapes don't support that. You have to lack curiosity on why some people who were even journalists, like Brandon Straka, were arrested for not doing anything. Why prosecutions are so uneven. You can't say anything like that. And so that's sort of what they're saying, is that Trump's an extremist because of January 6th, even though he's not been convicted of anything because in connection with that.
Or if you don't want trans ideology pushed on your children in schools, right? You don't want...
That's not necessarily a Trump platform at this moment.
Well, he's absolute. I mean, he's spoken out against this type of thing in our schools. He's certainly spoken out against getting, he did a whole speech about 8 months ago where he released it on Truth Social or wherever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And he specifically talked about not allowing the government to push these, trans surgeries and body mutilation of children. That's extreme. Like stopping our children from having their bodies mutilated by that kind of... So maybe that's the extremism she's talking about. And closing our southern border is extreme.
Now, I would like to have a little conversation with the chat, because with you in the comments, I find it so interesting that when I see things like this, I think to myself, if these were my colleagues, and they're at least my contemporaries, I would say you should apologize for what you did during COVID. You should apologize for what you did during Russiagate. You should apologize for how you unevenly cover these politicians, one political party over another. Every time I say that, we get so many comments that say, no apology. We don't accept that. No apology. They should go to jail. And I'm so interested in whether or not there's any redemption for people like this, who once they just read a few books or open up their curiosity cells of their brain, is there any redemption or just no? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a good question. I mean, if they're just a casual person on the street who, changed their opinion because they got educated and they were awakened and they learned about something that's different. But if you're Rachel Maddow, who every day was driving a certain narrative and encouraging you to go, and she was calling you stupid for not getting a vaccine. She was, they were pushing this narrative. They had doctors on their shows. They had Fauci on their show every day pushing a certain narrative.
Yeah.
And now we know the effects of it and how detrimental it's been. Why is Dr. Fauci able to go to Washington Nationals games? Why isn't he locked up? Why isn't he behind bars at this point?
Yeah.
So if Fauci just comes out and says, I'm sorry.
Right.
And how many millions of people died as a result of that? It's like if Hitler came out and apologized.
Yes. But I was uppity sort of like this at one point, too. I was a useful idiot for a while. So I can say I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I never told anyone how to live.
Exactly. But that's the difference. You can have different opinions and learn something. I'm talking about Rachel Maddow or these other people who were pushing things, like Dr. What's his name from Pfizer, who was on CNBC all the
Albert
damn time.
Albert Bourla.
He's the CEO.
Oh, no, Scott Gottlieb.
These guys were telling parents to go out and do this on a regular basis, to go out and get triple boosted, quadruple boosted. So if they just come out and say, I'm sorry. But it'd be interesting to hear members of parliament or members of government or the United States Congress. I think we did have, Philip, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we have wasn't there like one member of like the, I don't know, Irish Parliament or somebody that came out and apologized? It was like the first and only person to apologize for anything.
And Vivek Ramaswamy has said, I wish I had done things differently as well. I wish I hadn't taken the COVID vaccine.
But that's his personal choice to have done that, right? I'm talking about things that someone has done that's killed people or hurt people. Anyway, we're off on a tangent.
We are, because I'm so curious when I get these comments in YouTube say no apology. And I kind of chuckle to myself, but I want you to know that I read them. I think it's so interesting when she's talking about this hypothetical authoritarian leader that she lacks understanding of the fact that we have one right now. The Biden administration censored speech online. It's taking it to the Supreme Court so they can keep doing it about the pandemic. They prosecute political opponents the way Rachel Maddow told me that Trump did for years.
Told all of us.
Yeah, I feel like she said it to me. I'm very personally offended by Rachel Maddow. He protects his family from due process and currently is under impeachment proceedings for foreign interference peddling. Any of this done by Trump would send MSNBC ablaze. But they're more worried about Trump, and that's very disingenuous. Maybe they're really concerned about Trump. It is just, I don't know. He needs to apologize. I don't know what they want from him, right? To apologize and mea culpa. Here is a political pundit on GB News saying that the people who vote for Trump don't even believe in reality. They're just off on another planet. She says they're not on Earth One. They're so stupid.
I think if America goes into autocracy, that's not just bad for Democrats. That's bad for Britain. That's bad for the United States. That's bad for Mexico and Canada and everyone else. So I think we should all be really worried. I think Trump has this nomination locked up. I don't think it's even going to be a contest. You know, I think if Nikki Haley had come in first or even second, she might have had a chance. But fundamentally, the math is not mathing, right? Trump is not going away. He has a base. It continues to shrink, but it is galvanized and it is passionate. And they believe in their guy, and they don't necessarily even believe in a lot of the realities that we on Earth One believe in.
What is the
reality?
That just reeks of Hillary Clinton saying basket of deplorables. Like, you, these people that voted for Trump are literally on a whole other planet. They operate in a whole other universe from us here in real Earth.
Right.
That's what that reads to me.
They don't believe in science. Clearly, they don't believe in January 6th.
They don't believe in gay pride week censorship.
They don't believe in I don't know.
They don't believe a month-long celebration of, I don't know, whatever. I mean, whatever choice liberals have this month, that now it's trans month. Oh, they don't believe in that? They must live on a whole other planet.
Right. Different realities. Here is Joy Reid from MSNBC accusing Iowa of racism and sexism, saying that otherwise Nikki Haley would have won, but she had the deck stacked against her because she's a brown lady.
New Hampshire.
And I think to the point that you made, Steph, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady that's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump. And I don't care how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot, the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen. Ron DeSantis's only argument for staying in it is he's the white guy, that he can still make the appeal to whitey.
While we have,
that's interesting. What do black people have blonde hair?
No, I don't.
Why
know.
Why is she coloring her hair like a white person?
Cultural appropriation.
I'm just curious. That just struck me. Like, she's very much worried about the brownness of Nikki Haley, and yet she's coloring her hair blonde. I don't know. I'm just curious about that.
Well, she can color her hair any way she wants. It's the words that are repugnant that she's saying. Barack Obama won Iowa, so Iowa wasn't all that racist in 2008, right?
It's also ridiculous that she's saying that Donald Trump is birthering her. Where's your birth certificate, Nikki Haley? He doesn't have to really say anything about her at all. In fact, she's the one who shot herself in the foot with her affiliations. And of course, now all of these Democratic donors, the money that's poured in from Democratic donors for Nikki Haley, that people could see right through that in Iowa.
Well, I think we should have learned this from Hillary Clinton, and we should have learned this from Lloyd Austin, that when we celebrate someone's race and gender, we miss the glaring fact that they are warmongers. And, you know, we can argue about the fact that, Hillary Clinton, it was sexism. Maybe it was for some people, but it wasn't part of the conversation how many people she had killed. Nikki Haley is a disingenuous warmonger who just happens to be a brown lady. So maybe what people had their pulse on that, their finger on the pulse of that.
Could be.
She kept going. She said that white Christians are really the problem. And it's a problem basically that they even vote. Watch this.
But, you know, I feel like the important sort of data point, and, you know, Steve talks about it a lot. He's going to probably talk about it a little more tonight, is that these are white Christians. that this is a state that is overrepresented by white Christians that are going to participate in these caucuses, yes. especially tonight. Earlier today, reached out to Robbie Jones, from the Public Religion Research Institute, knowing that we were going to talk about Iowa. And this is a hyper-evangelical white state. And he said the following to me. Iowa is about 61% white Christian. The country as a whole is approximately 41% white Christian. And in Iowa, we're talking about evangelical white Christians. And he said the following. Because I asked him, what do they get out of supporting Donald Trump? Because he keeps losing, he keeps delivering losses and losses and losses. And he said the following. They see themselves as the rightful inheritors of this country, and Trump has promised to give it back to them. All the things that we think about electability, about, you know, what are people gaming out, or none of that matters when you believe that God has given you this country, that it is yours, and that everyone who is not a white conservative Christian is a fraudulent American, is a less real American, then you don't care about electability. You care.
Okay, so they're only voting because they believe that they have rights as citizens. They believe the song, "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land."
Right. No, white people are the problem in Iowa. And they are, as she pointed out, overrepresented. They are hyper-represented in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And even though Trump keeps losing, what is it that he's been losing? Because I thought last night was a win.
Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, he keeps losing his base. And Maddow said, yeah, his base is withering. Okay. Well,
even David Axelrod, Obama's campaign advisor last night, realized Trump is running a pretty tight ship. Even Pod Save America had admitted that he's running a really organized campaign. And they went to Eric Trump's speech and they're like, he gave a good speech. He really connects with people. What's going on here? And instead of saying, what have I missed over my last 8 years of being uppity and thinking I know everything, instead of saying that, they just continue to punch down and talk down to people. Watch how they think that they can change the reality by just not naming Donald Trump. Watch how Rachel Maddow, she doesn't even say his name like it's Voldemort, because she thinks she has the moral high ground, and they're telling us they won't show his victory speech.
Sure. I'm sorry, I just have to do a little bit of business just for a second. At this point in the evening, the projected winner of the Iowa caucuses has just started giving his victory speech. We will keep an eye on that as it happens. We will let you know if there's any news made in that speech, if there's anything noteworthy, something substantive and important. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that
we regularly
revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision. But there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is the fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live. We will monitor them and let you know about any news that he makes.
So Russiagate? That makes me want to punch the screen, that we can't air lies. Joe Biden can say them with impunity. How many times did you say that the Hunter Biden story was not legitimate?
Yeah.
How many times, right, did you say things about the COVID pandemic that were not true, allow Dr. Fauci unlimited airtime to tell untruths,
and Russiagate every night on your
show. Yes, but since the war in Ukraine, right now, that's still going on, they say lies about the war. Right now, still. And so she's saying it's unconscionable for us because too often he lies. We'll watch the speech, they say. And if he says anything, we think you should know. So we will be the arbiters. We will be the middleman, right? And then if he says anything, we want you to hear from that. We will tell you that. But otherwise, we don't want you to hear it.
Right. But they can air President Biden's speeches where he says the greatest threat to the United States of America are MAGA white extremists. Never mind the fact that We have rampant drugs pouring across our border and fentanyl crisis. You see the videos of people laying on the streets of Philadelphia or all over California, or thousands of people pouring across the border into the United States. But the greatest threat to America, MAGA white extremists, they can let that play on MSNBC without a problem at all.
Right. Lie after lie after lie. I mean, if you did a shot every time they told a lie about the war in Ukraine, right, you'd be dead by now. Right. I don't think any journalism school worth its salt would say, yeah, that was a good call. You can't give Trump, you know, airtime because he's a liar.
And she I, for one, am relieved to know that the media is stepping up to just to consume all of the information and then just give me what I need to know.
Yes.
Because, I want it filtered through Rachel Maddow for sure.
But see, I guess I look at this, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. You know, I'm a positive person. Mm. Does that bother you?
No, I'm just giving you a fake smile.
So what I think about this is, well, we don't need them. Who's watching MSNBC anyway? And so if MSNBC is like, you know, we've decided here at MSNBC that we're not going to air a Trump speech. He's like, well, here's a big middle finger. I'm going to go over to X, or formerly Twitter, and we're going to stream our acceptance speech here in Iowa, or our victory speech here in Iowa, and tens of millions of people are going to watch it. More people are watching Bluey on PBS right now than are watching Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. So this is the death of mainstream media. Jake Tapper, CNN, did the same exact thing.
Yes, they did.
So they're not off the hook either. Who's watching these networks? No one is watching them anymore.
And what they did instead was play Nikki Haley's second place speech. They chose not to play Vivek Ramaswamy's concession speech, where he decided to drop out of the race, probably because he endorsed and was favorable to Trump.
As I've said since the beginning, there are two America First candidates in this race. And earlier tonight, I called Donald Trump to tell him that I congratulate him on his victory. And now going forward, he will have my full endorsement for the presidency. And I think we're going to do the right thing for this country.
No.
And then, by the way, Trump came out later and specifically went out of his way to thank Vivek and thank and said he ran a great campaign. And he went out of his way to point out Vivek's, did a really great job and has elevated the conversation.
Now, look, I'm not here to endorse Trump. I'm not here to endorse any candidate. That's not my place in your life as your local neighborhood journalist, right? Here I am telling you that the media is doing you wrong. This is not how it's taught in journalism school. This is not how it should be on any public broadcast. They should not be making these decisions, and they certainly should not be deciding which lies they think they need to blow up and which lies they decide to sweep under the rug and buy or sell you or anything like that. And I think in the wake of the 2016 election, a lot of the liberal media and you know, sort of East Coast media elites all looked at themselves and said, oh, we did this. We got Trump elected. It's because we gave them too much power, the Trump campaign, which is interesting because they already were giving themselves credit as if they can only let people through, right? So they're just lack self-awareness about the fact that like, oh, well, this time we're going to get it right. This time we won't give him airtime. This time we're going to suppress him. It's no wonder that people hate them, right? I find this odious. As someone who still believes in journalism, until they apologize for all the lies that they continue to tell, we can't let them censor truth. I want to never hear from these people again.
That's a good way to end this. I never want to hear from these people again. Yes. Why are we allowing Rachel Maddow to have television time at all? It's utterly ridiculous. Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.